Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Starts up in 3.5 months.
We need some help.
It's Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS. The 8 o'clock hour of this award-winning presentation brought to you by Sildenafil, the same active ingredient Viagra, offering the same results but with massive savings. To learn more, call Goldsmith Medicine or Pharmacy at 314-432-5020 or go online at goldsmithmcp.com. We're going to be joined by Kelly Chase coming up at 9 o'clock, and he will give us his perspective on the end of the season. Jimmy the Cat Hayes is going to join us from Miami as the Cardinals have won 3 in a row by sweeping the Atlanta Braves. Chance now to continue the run as they take on a Marlins team that certainly has some offense, but also lacks starting pitching. You know, the headline on ESPN.com this morning is the Cubs and Yankees are destined to meet in the World Series. And I realize that would give, you know, network executives, you know, Woodrow's for months on end if that were guaranteed. But I feel like the best team in baseball is, like, really clear, even though I realize the Yankees have the best record. Right now, who would you say is the best team in baseball?
I'd say Washington.
Yeah.
I think so. Were they scoring, like, 20 runs a game?
I mean, they just rake. Yeah, I know they lost yesterday. They had a 4-0 lead. But Bryce Harper didn't play at all this weekend. And they just rake, and up and down they rake. And they have some starting pitching, but they have major issues in the back end of the bullpen. But I would imagine
that's something
if there's one thing you can take care of fairly easily, and we've seen teams do it so often, saw the Cubs do it last year, is you acquire a closer here over the next couple of months and then set the stage for your run. So, yeah, Cubs and Yankees, I guess. I don't know. I don't see it. I would take the Washington Nationals in a heartbeat. I just don't know if the Yankees can sustain what they've done. And there are a few teams where you kind of look at what's going on in the American League and go, okay, well, maybe this team, that team. The Orioles are pretty damn good as well.
Astros are playing well.
And the Astros are 10 games over 500. But I look at the Washington Nationals and I go, God, I'd take the Washington Nationals over the Cubs because, yeah, the Cubs might improve drastically from where they are right now offensively based on what they have in the lineup, but I don't know if they can really drastically improve with who they have as their starters at this moment. And they and I have a lovely trip through Coors Field this week. So I don't know. And that to me, the Washington Nationals are the class of Major League Baseball.
Nationals are in a bad division too. They might win 105 games.
Exactly. That's the other thing.
Point.
They could feast. It's just, I think the Cubs are in a bad division too, but you know, the National League Central could be a real offensive division. Two reasons for it. You do have a hell of a lot of talent in a lot of those lineups, in three of the five lineups, I would say. Who knows what will wind up happening with the Cardinals? I would not consider the Cardinals one of those three teams. I'd say the Reds, Cubs, and Brewers. But you also have some crappy pitching, especially with three of the five teams. And I'm not including the Cardinals in that either. The Pirates, the Brewers, and the Reds have some crappy pitching. And it's not like the Cubs have had some dominant starting pitching either. And the Cardinals, unfortunately, at this point, are trotting Adam Wainwright out there every other five days, and that would fall into the category of crappy pitching at this particular moment. Yeah, Ben, it seems like you have a statistic you'd like to share with Doug.
Cubs ranked 24th in starter ERA.
Doug, take that.
4-6-4.
Take that!
And where are the Cardinals? Near the top?
They were third.
How about that?
328. That's including Wainwright getting shelled.
I know. I mean, when you're taking a look at what Waka...
Downward
done?
Plane.
Yeah, downward, he has a downward. Yes,
downward,
you're right.
Plane. The only pitcher in baseball
Lee,
with a nice downward plane.
Lynn, and, you know, that's not even speaking to Losmart. Now that he's cut his hair, I think a lot of people say he might be the best pitcher in the game.
Well, it's helped him for sure.
Yep.
The best. If Wainwright can get straightened out, I don't know how many teams in baseball would have a better starting five than what they've got right now.
White Sox.
Well, I don't know about the White Sox.
The Royals are the crazy ones. The Royals are 3.28 and they're 10-20. their historic their offense is historically bad.
They're there with the 2003 Tigers, who lost like 115 games as far as an offensive pace goes. So
George Brett's gotten old. He can't help the club much anymore.
They've scored 82 runs in 30 games.
What's more boring than watching a team play that can't ever score?
You ever watch the Utah Jazz play?
Not much. No.
Quinn Snyder, man. How about him?
Exactly. What up, Quinn?
He's got nice hair. Good hair. Okay.
Oh, it's hot.
Did you see the stat where the Cubs and Yankees struck out 48 times last night?
Yeah.
New major
league record. Well, they played 18 innings.
Yeah, John Lackey out there as a pinch hitter in the 15th. And when he swung and missed, he just laughed. This crap. We got to get on a flight to Colorado. I'm anxious to see how that plays out tonight, by the way.
Wouldn't you think the Cubs would just be exhausted?
That's what I'm wondering. And it's supposed to be crappy conditions in Colorado tonight. I don't know what kind of lineup Madden will throw out there. I don't know what kind of approach the Cubs will have. Offensive players' eyes have to light up when they get out there.
They probably arrived in Denver about 6 in the morning.
Let's see. Let's see if we can do the math.
The game ended, 1 o'clock?
A little later than that, I think, because I was still up at 12:30 of all effing things.
So give them an hour and a half to get out of the clubhouse into the airport, and then a 3-hour flight probably from Chicago.
The weird thing was they had Arrieta pinch hit, and usually they send that guy ahead.
Yeah.
It was strange. I did see this stat I thought was funny. They struck out more time, combined strikeouts, the Cubs, Yankees, than Tony Gwynn and DiMaggio had ever had an entire season in that game last night. A lot of striking out.
Yeah. Yeah. You got a lot of guys throwing heat.
Guys, let's focus on what's important. Quinn Snyder's playoff run. Danny Tanner sending that in.
I haven't focused a lot on that.
Well,
it's kind of impressive.
There are some people saying they might take out the Dubs.
That's not going to happen. So that's a nice story for now.
People are saying it.
Do you watch a lot of NBA playoff games before the finals? Even with the Blues going?
I was really pulling for that Raptors bunch.
Here's the way you watch the NBA playoffs. They're great. I think they're one of the best postseason sports, but you tune in at halftime.
Yeah, that's
catch
about all
the
you
second
need.
Half. Yeah. That's when it gets really good.
Let's see. We're going to be joined by John Shannon here right now of Rogers Sportsnet to talk Blues and Predators on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Doug, you can tell our audience about Sherry's Berries because Mother's Day is coming up, and this is a great gift for Mom here just 6 days from now.
Yeah, you're thinking right now, oh, is it Mother's Day? I got time. Just blow it up. Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it. Your mom needs something. You need to show her that you care and that you love her. And you're thinking, well, what do I do? Well, I'm going to tell you what to do now. You send her some Sherry's Berries, those huge, freshly dipped strawberries. Send those to Mom. And it's a great deal going on right now, starting at $19.99 plus shipping. Sherry's Berries are huge, sweet, juicy, and covered in decadent toppings. Mm. And even though you waited until the last minute, if you're listening to this now and thinking, yeah, that would be a good idea, we have an exclusive offer for you. If you double the berries for Mom for just $10 more, she'll also get free cake truffles, too. So pick your desired delivery date, and you better hurry with this. Plus, your satisfaction is guaranteed, or you get your money back. Now, the only way to get this amazing berries deal, starting at just $19.99, is to visit berries.com, click on the microphone in the top right corner, and use the code MORNINGAFTER. Then double your berries for Mom and get free cake truffles before they run out. That's berries.com, berries.com, and the code MORNINGAFTER when you click on the mic. This amazing deal won't last long, and Mother's Day this weekend, so be sure to order today.
There it is, Sherry's Berries, a sponsor of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. And I see Brother Hebert, Doug, he's back for another week of sponsorship of the fan page. You ought to go on the fan page and say thanks, Brother Hebert.
You're really helping his business?
You better believe it. He wouldn't be back. Kevin Hebert, Liberty Mutual Insurance. Blues losing in 6 games to the Nashville Predators, the focal point of the 7 o'clock hour. And Kelly Chase is going to be with us at 9 o'clock. But right now, we are joined by John Shannon of Rogers Sportsnet to get his perspective on the fun and games in the Western Conference semifinals. John, good morning.
Morning, boys.
What do you think of the series as a whole? It felt like here for me and my co-host that even though the Blues were certainly competitive in every game, that Nashville overall outplayed them, and perhaps when it got down to it, just was the better team. What was your assessment?
Yeah, I think that's probably very fair. I think when you look and break down game by game, you know, in many ways, I think that the Blues got lucky in winning game two. They were the better team in game five. So if you go for six games, the Blues probably were okay in a game and a half, and not much more. I think that when you look at the power play being as anemic as it was for the six games, actually through the whole playoffs, even in the Minnesota series, the power play wasn't very good. I think it ended up 2 for 30 or 31. You know, that's you're not going to win many playoff series if your power play's not doing well and your goal scorers aren't scoring. I mean, I think that if there's going to be fingers pointed, I think they're going to be fingers pointed the way of Vladimir Tarasenko. Now, after a series is over and a team's eliminated, it's an awful thing to say, but you almost hope he's hurt. You almost hope that he's had something wrong, that he couldn't compete at the level that we saw Tarasenko compete with all season long.
Yeah, well, we know Alex Steen was hurt. He had the broken bone in his foot. At some point, I wonder if it's better to put a guy out there with a broken foot than to bring in a guy who's perfectly healthy up in the press box. We saw that with Yaskin when he subbed for Steen. He was best player on the ice. You think it makes a lot of sense to put a guy like that out there with a broken foot?
Well, you know, hockey players are different animals. You know, if you can take painkillers and you can bind your foot in tight into that boot, there are some guys that have been able to compete at almost the same level. The question becomes, is Alex Steen at 85% better than someone that can go in the lineup at closer to 100? And the answer is, there are many days it's probably yes. I don't, you know, the history of this game and the history of players playing hurt at this time of the season is long and it's illustrious. And I wouldn't suggest that would be a bigger issue. They just couldn't score goals. And one of the reasons they couldn't score goals is Nashville was absolutely relentless on their forecheck. They were pretty good in their own zone in making sure that the guys couldn't get to the front of the net. And then Pekarinen saw almost every shot. If a goalie at this level, guys, can see the shot, there's a good chance he'll stop it.
I wanted to go back to Tarasenko because some people say, well, he played well. He had some assists. Some of the goals they scored were off of his deflections. Or as you come to and say, look, when you're in that spot in the series and you're the star, you got to put the puck in the net.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that. You know, if we're talking about the Washington Capitals, all their people are doing is looking at what Alexander Ovechkin is doing and is Ovechkin scoring and what's wrong with Ovechkin when they're not winning. Well, you know what? The same pressure on Tarasenko. He's one of the most elite players in this game. He's a top five goal scorer. He's a guy that drives the offense. Now, it's a little more difficult for him because he's a winger rather than a centerman to drive the offense. But the expectation is that Tarasenko has to score. And if the Blues are expected to win, then Tarasenko has to score. And so now the question is, well, why didn't he score? When Jaden Schwartz should not be your leading point getter in the playoffs. He's a good player. He's feisty. But he should not be at the top of the list. It should be Vladimir Tarasenko.
When you look at the Blues as a team, in order to get past this, and I think a lot of people here say, look, you know, when they let Kevin Shattenkirk go in a trade, I don't think a lot of people are expecting this, but if they want to get past this, they want to get that first Stanley Cup and end the drought, what kind of pieces do they need to add?
Well, and by the way, I don't think they missed Kevin Shattenkirk one bit. I mean, I think that's the one move that I'm going to give Doug Armstrong credit for. I think when you look at the evolution of Edmondson and what the other big defensemen have done, I mean, I don't know how much ice time Shattenkirk would have got when all those guys were playing so well. So from that perspective, the Shattenkirk deal makes a ton of sense. What they need, they need to find a lot more strength down the middle. They need to find a centerman that can be a quality two-way player, but as, again, help distribute the puck in the offensive zone. Not to get into history lessons, but this is a league that where the strength is down the middle. Of great teams have great centermen. Paul Stastny, as the de facto number one, the question becomes, is he good enough to be on a list of great centermen? And the answer right now is no. But that's not to say he's not a valuable part. He's just maybe miscast at this point. Rather than being a number one guy, is he a number two? So that's where, in my mind, they have to really improve. They have to find a centerman that can help score. They have to find a centerman that can help win some more faceoffs. That's where the weakness, and by the way, that's the weakness in most teams. You know, everybody's looking for centermen and defensemen, and the Blues have enough defensemen to win, so now they have to find a centerman. And it's not going to be easy for Doug Armstrong. It's certainly not going to be easy.
So where do you find them? You have to draft those guys?
Yeah, you do. And you know, the two best players in the draft this year that the Blues will never have a chance at, both are centermen. But, you know, that's what you have to go. And the free agent list this summer is not very deep as well. So from that perspective, finding a centerman that can help this organization, whether it's somebody that's played in Chicago this year or somewhere else. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's on Doug's list.
When the Blues made the coaching change in February, a lot of us thought, well, that was stupid. You just fired a Hall of Fame coach who took you to the finals last year, and yet their record far better under Mike Yeo. What buttons do you think Yeo pushed that made them a better team?
Well, I think it goes back to that original press conference, guys, when Doug Armstrong stood up and said, we have too many independent contractors. He called the players bluff, and the players responded. And I think that's important to remember, too. Yeah, you know, I'm a huge Ken Hitchcock fan, but over the years, the game is changing and evolving, and how you manage with players and how you manage players is different. And after a while, sometimes players just need change. You know, they're the ones doing the heavy lifting. They're the ones doing all the skating. And you know, sometimes that hard-ass approach grinds on the players. And after the success that Hitchcock's had and after the time behind the bench, obviously Doug thought it was time for a change, and he proved to be right.
How have you seen Yeo change? Because when he was leaving Minnesota, the knock on him was that he was too reliant on veterans. He didn't trust his young players enough. You look at this postseason, he's pulling guys, you know, pulling rookies up, throwing guys in there. It seems like he has grown from what led to his firing in Minnesota.
I think that's probably fair. You know, anybody that gets fired, they probably learn more from being fired than being hired. And what I liked was his approach. And you're right, I think he did rely too much on veterans. And I also think that there's a fine line of talking to veterans too much and waiting and making decisions. I think what happened behind the bench for Yeo, and maybe a little Hitchcock rubbed off, is that he was decisive in his coaching style. He was, you know, rather than making sure that everybody was happy with what he did, he said, here's what we're doing and let's get on board. Again, it goes back to a lot of the onus was on the players when Hitchcock got fired. It wasn't that Ken's a bad coach. It was that the players weren't responding, and this was an opportunity with a new coach for the players to respond.
Who do you like here the rest of the way in the playoffs?
Well, how do you not pick Nashville in the West? But, you know, I actually think that Edmonton or Anaheim will probably win the West. But Nashville, it wouldn't surprise me if Nashville goes. And then I'm still on the Pittsburgh bandwagon. Now that they can win their series tonight, the Rangers series with Ottawa might end as early as tomorrow with Ottawa winning. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a Pittsburgh-Anaheim or a Pittsburgh-Edmonton final.
John Shannon, Rogers Sportsnet, with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, joining us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. John, thank you for the time this morning.
All right. Have a great week, boys. Enjoy the time, and I guess let's go Cards.
There it is. John Shannon with us here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Your thoughts are welcome. 855-282-8255. 855-282-8255. That's how you can call in. It's how you can text in, and you can email in the morning after at insidestl.com. Now, this is big today, Doug.
What?
Because if Justin in Columbia decides to ride in and he wins both points, because it's a two-point day, because we did not award any points on Friday, Justin in Columbia now has 4 points as we are sitting on May 8th. And that means 4 of 6 possible points awarded for email of the month standings it would have gone to Justin in Columbia. So a big swing here for Justin in Columbia. Kind of fun to watch guys.
Well, it's not that fun, but it's interesting.
If you had to compare him to a golfer, who would he be? A guy who's on the uptick. Young guy.
A guy who just kind of comes back and wins when he wants to, or at the very least is competitive. Let's take a look at Dustin Johnson this weekend in North Carolina, Doug.
Yeah.
As you noticed, you know, back off injuries. He, you know, of course, fell down the steps in Augusta. And And here he is. He's back, and he doesn't necessarily play that well, and yet he still finishes in a tie for second. That's, to me, Justin and Columbia.
Let's tap the brakes on comparing Justin and Columbia to Dustin Johnson, shall we?
Well, I was asked a question, and I gave an answer, sir.
Well, this is a guy, if he wins today, he'll have two lunge passes to Hot Shots.
Right.
I'm sure he can't find a date.
Wow.
So rather than taking a girl or something, he can go back tomorrow, and then he can go back again on Wednesday, and he can eat back-to-back days at Hot Shots.
That's probably what I'd do.
That's the best thing that he's got going for him.
Right.
I don't know that he's the next Dustin Johnson of emailers.
I mean, I was asked to give a comparison.
Okay.
I thought it was a good comparison, Tim.
Thank you, Ben.
Where's my
Thank you, Ben.
Here's
God bless you, sir.
Thank you, Danny Schwartz, for the Lemmings gong. It's necessary. And needed.
I like this guy. Very calm, knowledgeable. Thanks, the Kansas City Gray Sexual. I think that's in reference to John Shannon. Our guest.
People aren't going to like him calling out Tarasenko.
Yeah,
like
I was kind of surprised by the line he took there.
I don't necessarily disagree with him. I mean, three goals in playoffs. I mean, I understand he played well. That line played okay at times, but you want your star to score.
You do, but he won one game for him. He scored twice. He really had the goal yesterday, even though it bounced in off Stasny. Tarasenko made the play. He can't do it alone. Who else do you fear offensively on the Blues?
You know.
Anyone?
Sobotka.
Anybody?
Sobotka.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it'd been nice if he'd scored six or seven, but he needs a little help.
Tim, that was a great comparison. Thanks, Grimy Southside.
Wasn't that great?
Justin and Dustin are only one letter apart. Think about it, Doug. Stubby applause.
Well, that's true. Well, you got me there.
Tim, this is a potential four-point swing this morning with this email of the day. This is really big. Thanks, Catfish.
It's not that big. It's an email. That's what it is.
Justin in Columbia plays golf. Dustin Johnson plays golf. You sound like an ass, Doug. Matt, who bowls at Hanks?
Okay, Matt. Hack it off, Buster. Well, I haven't gotten to play golf yet this year.
Why don't you come on and shave some strokes with me today?
Well,
see what the word is.
Because I'll be right back at it with Lady Journalism again.
Oh, that's awesome.
And going on 3 hours sleep, I'd like a little bit of a nappy poo. Just a little bit of a nappy poo.
Yeah, but it'll be therapeutic to get out there on a beautiful day like this and shave some strokes off your game. Wear pants,
you'd
shave four strokes off your game.
You'd probably be more refreshed if you went and golf and if you took a nap.
I agree with Ben, Fred.
Without breathing fresh air. Do you nap on the couch or on the in the bed?
Bed.
On top of the covers or beneath?
Oh, he's a bottom.
The top.
Mm. Good call.
I don't get back under the cover.
There's a lot to work with there, Plowhawk. Plowhawk, is it because your computer's not working, you're not firing drops, or you're just tired, or are you pissed? What's going on?
No, the computer got me on tilt.
Why?
That I fixed. Just had to jiggle a couple of wires in the back, and everything's all good.
That actually fixed it.
Just jiggling wires.
Yeah.
Baby. Go ahead, baby.
I'm
LL
used
Cool
to,
J. 88? 89?
I don't know the years.
I'm used to fixing things like that. I'm not really tech savvy, so that's about all I got. That and restarting the computer, which I didn't have the capability of doing since we were recording the show. So did that, and it's working fine. Just had a long weekend of work and just really exhausted. I'm on four, I guess.
You had Billy G's?
Now. Yeah.
This crowded?
I'm beautiful outside.
Yeah, the weather outside's perfect.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I haven't been there in a while.
We'll pony up. Well, play some golf and we'll pony up.
I would love to. I don't have a life, Tim.
You know, I've got those Lemmings days with Jennings Jr. on the first one is Wednesday. Why don't you get out there and play? You can see Jennings Jr. just stripe it down the fairway.
Well,
stripe show.
All right. Because I'll be working again, Tim.
Wow. You never get a day off, do you, Doug?
No, I work 7 days a week.
Goodness. That's awesome.
It's just fantastic. And all the weekend nights just couldn't be better.
This is the first time that you and Jennings will have golf together, right?
I've never played golf with Jennings.
That's going to be an experience.
I would imagine he can flat out play, even though he like never plays. He can still flat out play.
Well, he's a shot maker.
Yeah.
Good ball striker.
Yeah, Henrik Stenson of Normandy.
I'd say that's probably right.
Tim, you will have a great day on the course today. That's from the Four Finger guy.
Four-fingered Mordecai Brown.
How does he know?
That's the same guy who last week texted in apropos of nothing. You like that, Doug? Apropos of nothing.
I don't care for it.
And said, today will be a huge day in your career. And I'm like, who is this guy and how does he know what's going on? And then as things played out, it was a pretty potentially huge day. And I'm thinking, who's this guy? And as it turns out, it's just some guy I had to block from the fan page.
Blocking.
So I don't know. I don't even know if I'm playing today, Doug. If you will play, I will play.
I can't play.
I don't know. I'd like to play Gateway. I don't know if they have an event.
For me, having a really good time nowadays is, wow, I got like an hour and a half. I don't have to go to work. Look, I'm walking around my house. I'm not working. Whoops. Would you look at the time? Time to go to work.
That's a sad commentary.
Yeah, oh boy, it is.
I do feel badly. I actually do. I don't like to make fun of this because I feel terribly for Doug.
How's your dog doing, by the way?
I got another dog. One now.
I know. How is it?
Bandit?
No, the new one, remember?
Another one. Dora, the inherited.
It's got pills and shots and stuff?
No, Dora's very well behaved, thankfully. They're yappers now. They get each other going with the yapping. I try to take a nap and whoops, someone just drove down the street. Yeah, stop it.
You're just trying to take a nap over the covers and they're yapping.
Yes. If you could just be quiet for like 30 minutes. Oh, look, there's a kid on a bike. Yeah, both of them. Stop. Bandit never did this. Now she's egged on by Dora.
Bad influence.
Tim, yes. Today you will discover something about yourself that changes your life. It's from Goat Boy. Oh. Wow, there's like a lot of soothsayers who text in.
Yeah.
It's like I just read fortune cookies in this text inbox.
Psychics.
All I know is that four finger guy, he knew something.
Mordecai
Brown.
He knew something. Mordecai Brown had three fingers, right? He didn't have four, boy.
Antonio Alfonseca, six.
Six fingers. Mm. You think you're a better pitcher with more or fewer fingers?
More.
Yeah, I don't think more. Doug, quit bragging about your job. Not all of us were lucky enough to be employed. Thanks. It's from Mr. Nipples.
Good point.
Well, I'm not surprised that Nipples is unemployed. Is anybody really?
Warriors and Jazz tonight. Game four.
Will you watch that?
I do pull for Quinn. I mean, I realize he's not going to be doing any winning against the Warriors.
Why do you pull for Quinn?
It's just kind of cool to see that he was on the absolute ground floor looking like he's getting out of the game and coaching in the NBDL, and next thing you know, he's coach of the year candidate in the NBA.
Mm-hmm. Mizzou hired the right guy just 10 years too early.
Yeah.
They hired a guy who was able to recruit at Duke. Couldn't any of us recruit at Duke?
Probably not.
I mean, you don't think so?
I don't know, Doug. No offense, but I don't know if you're going to appeal to those kids.
Well, it's not me. You're recruiting for Krzyzewski. I mean, if you can't get a basketball player to go to Duke, what have you got? He didn't have much at Mizzou.
Well, the problem was he had no oversight. You can't give a guy like that, a young guy like that, a Division I program without any. He needs a kind of a. He needed the former head coach on his staff. He needed an athletic director who was paying attention to everything he did.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just give him the keys and walk away.
Boy, had good hair, though.
He did have good hair. Still does.
Still has
nice. A big article on Quinn Snyder in the Kansas City Star done by a friend of the Post-Dispatch, former St. Louisan, Vahe Gregorian this morning, as a matter of fact. And it says he should have wound up at KU. That's where he was supposed to go. But then he had a dust-up on his recruiting trip with KU players. And so then he wound up going to Duke. How about that? I did not know that.
Do you think he's given the Jazz the Eye of the Tiger song in the locker room before the game? Is that the key to their run?
Gordon Hayward.
I don't know.
I can't name.
He married Larry Brown's daughter.
I can't name any other player on the Jazz, and I watched the game the other night.
Karl Malone.
I watched the game, and I can't name any other guy on their team.
Stockton?
No, current Doug.
Gobert.
Eaton?
You know, Karl Malone and Stockton were the beautiful display of the pick and the roll.
Right.
Pick and the roll.
Yeah. They're not there anymore again.
They could still do it, though, I bet. They'd wreak havoc at the Y.
Boy, that Blagojevich had good hair also. He and Quinn, probably the two best heads of hair I've seen in a long time. Who's even close?
When he was asked to describe how he went from where he was, which was out of the game, to coaching again here over the last 10 years, it's a pretty serious discussion, Snyder recently said, according to the Los Angeles Daily News. If you would write about that, you could write a book. Yeah, if he were to be honest about what went on, like he would have Ankiel-esque-like stories, I would imagine. Again, if he were to be honest.
Because of
all the stuff that went on.
Yeah, well, what did
all the stuff that's alleged to have gone on.
Oof.
Stuff that he did.
And while he was coaching at Missouri. And, I mean, you know, he went from coaching at Missouri to coaching in the NBDL and then coaching in, what, Moscow?
Yep. And then he was the Lakers assistant.
All right. Well, he bounced around as an assistant all over the place. If it were up to us, the first chapter would be about how Snyder largely disappeared from public view for months, including time reportedly idling in Costa Rica or convalescing through yoga with perhaps some other mystical aspects to it.
Great.
Then it would delve into what was happening inside. After separate interviews with Snyder, the Seattle Times and Sports on Earth reported he battled depression. Whether they meant that in the clinical sense or not, Snyder clearly was in distress for one of the first times in his life where everything else seemed to have come so easily for him. God, there's the picture of that press conference. I was at that press conference and it was at like April of 99. God, I was 32 years old. Every time we talk about Quinn Snyder, because at the time, I was 22 myself. And I'm like, oh, 32. You don't think anything of it. At 22, you're now 32 is old. Yeah. And now you're 40 and you go, oh my God, he was running a college basketball program at 32 and a big one at that and inheriting the program from Norm Stewart, who was coaching the team a month and a half earlier. Holy moly. In the NCAA tournament, no less. Taking on Dubexico. Yeah.
Okay. Well, and he got the job because he'd been at Duke. Wow, he'll bring some of that Duke magic here. Well, no, it's Krzyzewski that's got the Duke magic going. It's not the assistant sitting next to him.
He had matinee idol looks. You like that? Matinee
idol. That doesn't matter if you're coaching basketball. I've got him too. It doesn't mean
he won the press conference.
Game.
I'll tell you that.
Yes, he did. I have never seen so many young females at a press conference. It was unbelievable. I'm like, oh my God, this is like a pony show here. It's 10 o'clock at the Reynolds Alumni Center, and it's a pony show.
All those KOMU was turning out.
Rich Gould was there.
I went to the Quinn Snyder basketball camp growing up.
Did he help you ball out?
He made an appearance for about 3 minutes. Yeah. Gary Link coached the entire camp.
Yeah.
But what did Quinn say?
Hey, show up, play hard, good job. Woo, yeah. And then he's gone. Gary Link coached
the
whole
Shiloh.
Thing.
But
yes.
Your parents coughed up $200
oh, you know
bucks
it.
For that.
Yeah.
Didn't
they? Yeah. You know it.
Dougie had it all. Becoming head coach at Mizzou at age 32. Matinee idol looks with Duke undergraduate degrees in philosophy and political science and an MBA and law degree from the school. So that's nice. Four degrees from Duke.
Yeah.
Then he'd been fired by MU amid numerous NCAA issues and the Ricky Clemens affair and losing his way. At least, unlike most in the profession, Brown joked, Snyder could have done a lot of other things, but basketball maintained its allure, just not at the collegiate level.
They may have taken a couple of shortcuts to try to get Ricky Clemens through school.
Give me an example of six.
Well, he went to Butler County Junior College and got like, 16 credit hours in a week and a half?
I thought it was just a weekend. Good for him for sticking it out.
Yeah, he may not have made it the full week and a half.
Remember when Kalen Grimes pulled the shotgun on that guy or something? One of them got shot and one of them pulled a shotgun. Kalen Shotgun Grimes. He was one of my favorite players. Then they had Linus Klaza, the sharpshooter from overseas.
Who went on to play
like
in the
one
NBA.
Year and he went and played for the Nuggets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Steamer.
Good times. There's some good times.
Linus, we're going to have you leave school early. I don't think I'm ready to be drafted. Trust me, you'll get drafted. Oh, okay. Oh, the Denver Nuggets have a selection. The old steamer. Somebody ought to do a book on the steamer, too. This is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to write unauthorized biographies. Just attach my theories to everything and shut her down. Yeah, Doug, I mean, you're so committed. They're saying Quinn Snyder's so committed to his love of basketball that he went to Moscow to coach. If you had to, would you go to Moscow to do sports talk radio? Because you love it as much as...
What's it pay?
Rubles.
I'm looking for a
all
third job.
All the vodka you can drink.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to pass on that opportunity at this point.
What if you only had to work 3 days a week over there?
I'll take it.
You're in.
Mm-hmm. Just a day off every now and then would really be kind of nice.
Even in a foreign country, you wouldn't know what was going on?
That's okay. No, I could just wander around my apartment and think, woohoo, I don't have to work.
He was George Clooney before I even knew who George Clooney was. Everybody wanted to be around Quinn.
Oh, come on.
That's the lead to the book.
Who's writing that?
Jay Billis. He thinks on a different plane than everyone else.
Nice. Well, that doesn't make it a great plane. It doesn't make it a better plane.
Ah, the great plane.
We saw him coaching here. There wasn't any great plane happening here.
Well, he's gotten better.
He's
he had to be humbled.
We went at it a few different times after they beat... Ohio State to advance to the Sweet 16 in the NCAA tournament as a 12 seed in 2002 out of New Mexico. Again, it always goes back to New Mexico. I said, do you feel like, you know, by getting to the Sweet 16, this validates you as a head coach? And clearly I must have hit a button. And he goes, I'm not going to sit here and psychoanalyze myself for you. And I'm like, wow. Okay.
Well, he didn't do that until later during the yoga.
Yeah, I guess yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that was a bad question, but okay, coach.
Yeah,
go get him up in San Jose.
He did have an attitude for a guy who had done nothing until he got there. He did have an attitude.
It's the hair, man. Like, if I had a full head of hair, I'd be even more arrogant.
He had good salad. Yeah.
Can you imagine how cocky you'd be if you had a
and if I were above 5'3"?
You'd be unbearable.
Yeah, there'd be no stopping you then.
Yeah, I mean, it would be really something to watch.
It's all about the follicles.
You think so, when it gets down to it?
Yeah. I mean, we haven't really had a bald president since Eisenhower.
Paul Tsongas.
Paul Tsongas never made it. He never made it to president.
I think if you look.
No, sir, he didn't. I mean, you got to have a good head of hair or you can't even run.
Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Right, and he had a little something in his background that helped him get there.
Like what?
He'd only saved the world, that's all.
Oh, okay. But he didn't have 4 degrees from Duke.
No.
Wow.
But he did play football against Jim Thorpe.
Time magazine said the U.S. has had more than 5 bald presidents, but Americans haven't voted one into office in 51 years. Eisenhower won a second term.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, you look at some of the heads. Kennedy had great hair.
Clinton,
the
baldest?
Clinton had great
as a society?
Hair. Reagan. It's all about the hair.
Yeah, Reagan had great hair.
You need to look into this.
He did.
George H.W. Bush really kind of didn't.
Well, he was 70 at the time, too. He still had it. Trump's got fantastic flow. They've all got hair. You can't run if you're bald-headed anymore.
That seems racist.
Bernie tried, and they made sure that he had the legs cut out from under
him. He's got some stuff along the sides there.
He does,
he's kind of got the fryer.
Well, all of us can do that. I can do that. I can sport that.
Don't do that.
No, I know. But that's possible. That's not where male pattern baldness will hit you. Who is that guy that they thought was going to win Utah? He's like only 40, but he has a shaved head. Can't think of. Do you know what I'm talking about? He was supposed to win Utah, and then he didn't come.
Kind of a Republican, but didn't like Trump, so he ran against him. McMillan, I think, might have been his name.
Oh, yeah, Darnell McMillan.
I don't think Darnell was his name.
Look it up.
But I don't even know of a prominent bald politician anywhere. Bernie, I guess, would be the only one.
Well, I don't consider him bald. I consider him balding.
Yeah.
What if Obama would have came out for the second term, just shaved up top, razored? That would have made some news.
Yeah, but he can grow hair. Some of us were just effed. And it all goes back to stop and taking Propecia, Doug, in February of 06.
If you could turn back time, would you have kept doing it?
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Every day, though? You have to do it every day?
I had been doing it since 98. Yeah.
Why'd you stop?
Because I turned down a TV job in Denver. And I'm like, you know what? At this point, it's like 80 or 90 bucks a week. That would really be severe. A month. What does it matter? I'm shaving my head anyway.
Right.
And then I decided later that year I wanted to grow my hair back. And I'm like, it's not growing.
That was the emotion you had.
Yeah, it really was.
Wasn't it?
It's like, oh, crap. So anybody taking Propecia, don't stop taking it unless you just want to see what happens. And I'm telling you, it's not going to work out. It's a mess. It's a whole thing. They don't advertise that anymore.
The Propecia?
Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know.
You're probably going to bed earlier. They usually come on late.
That was a late night deal?
Mm-hmm.
Tim, your calves are better than Quinn Snyder's. Thanks, four finger guy. Guys, John McCain is bald.
No, he's not.
He's kind of got a very light comb over.
Yeah. Here again, you're talking about a guy who's in his mid-70s.
He is not bald. He's balding. There's a difference.
I agree with you there, Ben.
He's got quite a bit of hair. Got a large forehead, but that's because his hair has gone up some, you know.
Yeah, you just can't really make it as a bald.
Well, he's also like 85 years old.
Yeah.
Doug, Propecia turns your man sauce into jelly. Thanks. That's from the 573. What does that mean? Honestly. I mean, maybe we shouldn't discuss it, but I'm legitimately curious what that means.
Man sauce into jelly. I don't know.
Doug, it was Evan McMullen.
McMullen, yeah. I got close.
LBJ was bald. Think about it. It's from Dave with the cauliflower ear.
Not completely.
I like kittens and bunnies.
All right.
Hey, guys, Sean McCovey is 31 and coaching the Rams, and he has fabulous hair.
That's going to end well.
Yeah, good luck with that.
It's Sean McVay, isn't it?
It is.
Who cares?
Isn't it just like
just
the Rams?
Read what's on the prompter.
At what point do you think he realized he's screwed? You think it was like day two?
He just wants to be a coach at 31. I can't believe it.
Yeah, how screwed are you when they're going to pay you $1 million to coach?
Well, yeah, but I'm sure he wants to, like, you know, win. Not everyone goes to the Rams with hopes of just making money and losing all the time.
Of just moving.
It happens. You're ushered into that way of thinking.
The Rams hired a guy and paid him $7 million a year just because he had moved once before. That was seemed to be the top priority. This guy has experience in moving a franchise.
Tim, Doug,
hire him.
Gateway has an 11-12 tee time for four golfers for $29.99. Thank you, Sonnenberg Asphalt.
Really? $29.99 for 18
holes? Why don't we go over there?
Because I got to work.
Well, but you can jet like after the 12th hole. You'd probably adore me then anyway.
Is it? There's got to be some sleep in my future at some point. Before I keel over.
Sleep after you do the big 10 o'clock show today.
I can't. I gotta come back here again. I got to wake up at 4:30 in the morning tomorrow as well.
How about we scrap the show prep meeting tomorrow?
Okay, I'll get up at 4:40.
Why do you get up so early?
Well, I got to wake up a little bit.
I didn't get up till 5:30 today. I pushed it. That's because I was up watching Cubs baseball at 12:30. Whew, like some kind of jackass. I couldn't fall asleep.
You couldn't, so you got up and walked around.
Yeah, that's the move.
Reading doesn't help put you to sleep?
Yeah, I'll fire up my laptop and then
see,
I'm
that's
like...
That's the problem, the light from the laptop.
No,
it keeps you awake.
No,
you
it's
put on
Sunday
night
nights because on Saturday and Sunday, we still were able to sleep in. I guess we have about 12, 13 more weeks of that. So I'm enjoying it. And then, you know, my sleep's pushed back. They call it a delayed sleep pattern. A delayed sleep pattern. And so it pushes you back. Like when I used to go to script clubs all the time, this is when I was working at KMOV, as a matter of fact. And
I'd supposed to be going there as a employee.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen that go to a court of law, the morals clause, as they call it. But either way, I wouldn't go to bed till 4 or 5 in the morning on the weekends, and then I'd get up and do radio, and I couldn't fall asleep on Sunday night. This is a lot less because it's not like we're going out or anything, but still I'll sleep in until like 9:30 on Saturday, and it kind of throws me off for getting up at 4:30 on Monday. It's called a delayed sleep pattern. A delayed
okay.
sleep. What?
That's better than my no sleep pattern.
Yeah. Hey, Doug, my ball sack was the president of your forehead last night. Thanks, Ahmad Rashad.
Ahmad Rashad has been suspended.
Man. Ahmad.
I shave only my left nut sack if the cards win.
Tony Messenger.
Tony Messenger has been suspended.
No, he was reading a text.
I don't care. He's been suspended. He's been suspended a period of 2 days' time. His name is going into the Hot Shots leather-bound suspension.
Doug, my wife gave birth about a month ago, and I haven't really slept since. When does this whole thing get better? Thanks. That's from Timmy Tom Tom.
It never does.
It never does.
No, there's nothing you can prepare yourself for. There's nothing you can do to get ready to not sleep all night long because you got a baby crying.
What about a night nurse?
You're going to get a night nurse, or you're just going to sit there, and the baby's screaming, crying, and you're going to stay asleep?
The night nurse will be handling the whole deal.
Or is she going to take the baby out of the house?
I don't know, room over.
You'll still hear the baby scream.
Now I got a noisemaker. Watch this. It does this.
Well, you'll still hear it. And you'll be worried about it.
But I'm buried under pillows, as you know.
When they're newborns, you sit there and stare at them. You go, breathe again. Okay, now breathe again. Okay, now let's do it again. And that's the way you look at them when they're first born.
Hey, Tim, my wife has tried to go into labor a few times, but I keep shoving the baby back in so we're closer to your due date. Thanks.
He wants to be next to your due date.
He wants to hang out with Tim in the waiting room.
Which line is the cat on? Because there's one line I most definitely don't want to click on. Line 2. Thank you very much. Good morning, the cat.
Good morning. I hope I'm the one you wanted to talk to.
Yes, you are the one I wanted to talk to. The computer screen's down, so I don't know who's on what. But I know that you were on one of the two, and I chose wisely. How are things in Miami?
Nice. Very nice. I haven't really been outside the room yet. I've been prepping for this radio appearance.
Yeah, it's a big one. It's a very big one.
Big one. It's a big make or break. By the way, Doug didn't hit the gong on the guy who said he's pushing the baby back in.
Doug's giving up, I think.
To your duty.
I've hit the gong
so many times. He's sleep
deprived. The gong's got dents in it. I've hit it so many times.
It's like my head. Hey, the Cardinals sweep the Braves, and that Tommy Pham, friend of the postgame show, just keeps raking.
In the TMA team photo from spring training,
that's right.
Tommy Pham's in there. And he said to me after we did the postgame interview, after he had two homers, four hits, on base five times, and had the two-run shot in the 14th, he said, "You know, Jim, if it weren't for you guys, I wouldn't be here today."
Oh, my so God!
Really?
He totally said it was the AM radio show that he had no idea who he was taking the picture with.
Right.
Was the thing that spurred him on yesterday. Yeah, the Cardinals have seemingly, for now anyway, righted the ship offensively. Diaz is hitting. Colton Wong has a 12-game hitting streak. They expect that Dexter Fowler will likely be back to play. He did pinch hit yesterday. At some point in this series, and Tim, your friend Jahani may be back with the Cardinals. I know you were looking forward to his return. He could be back any day now as the Cardinals get set to battle the Fighting Fish.
That was no small thing what Pham did yesterday, though, to hit the two bombs like that. I'm sure he'd been frustrated sitting down there in the minor leagues, and to come back and just immediately make such a big contribution, really all three games. That's huge for him.
Doug, I have two words for you.
Yeah.
Contact lenses. Contact lenses. Tommy Pham has had all kinds of vision issues. He has a weird thing, sort of a birth defect with his pupils, so he can't use standard contact lenses. So I've been in there where he's going through four or five different sets trying to figure out which ones won't bother him where he could see properly, and I guess he got the right contact lenses right before the start of the season. He hit well in Memphis. He's come up and he's gotten even hotter. And he said a big part of that is his vision. He gets contact lenses. You make money. He gets contact lenses. You make money, Doug.
How do I make money off of it? By betting on the Cardinals?
There. I'm not. I'm in Miami. I don't know.
You could have picked up Pham in your fantasy league there. That's what he
meant. Yes. Yeah. Yes, thank you, Ben, for that's what I meant.
Kat, what do you make of Mag Sierra? I mean, I doubt he was probably expecting to debut like this, but they call him up, and he seemed to be able to do a little bit.
You know, at first I was like, well, maybe this was just a convenience sake because he's already on the 40-man. He's a good defensive player. I did see him a little at spring training. I know he impressed a lot of people, but talking to Matheny before the game and the things he was saying, I think he was the guy Matheny wanted all along for two reasons. Matheny said that he was their best defensive player at spring training. And he was a kid, he said that he was talking to the coaching staff before one of the games at spring training and said, I don't think we could put this kid in a position where it scares him. He just doesn't scare. So personal makeup, speed, defense, that's really what they wanted for someone to come up and fill in for the time being. And Matheny said, you know, I think he hit around 400 at spring training. Granted, it's spring training, but Matheny said Sierra's upside offensively is off the charts. And we did see, you know, the fact that he has a good arm kind of factor in yesterday. I don't think they were very aggressive on the base paths against him, where they might have been against one of the other outfielders because they had seen him during spring training. And on the base pass, well, you know, he got a hit, he got picked off, but we haven't really seen what he can do there. But supposedly he's as fast as anyone in Major League Baseball right now. He's just got to learn a few things. So as a stopgap, I think he's the guy Matheny wanted all along.
Well, I think getting picked off was just a way to prove to the guys that he's one of them. You know, he's trying to fit in.
Can't run the bases either.
Right.
Someone ring the bell. Someone ring the bell.
What do you make of this outfield moving forward now? Because, you know, you thought, okay, Piscotty's going to be out for a while. Fowler's a little banged up. Now Jose Martinez is going to get a run here, and he unfortunately goes out with a groin injury. Are Pham and Sierra going to be in for a while, or is one of these guys going to come back? Fowler, I guess, should be back relatively soon.
I think they'll be careful with Dexter. The fact that he came to Atlanta and said I'm available and wasn't, I think he wanted to be available, and the fact that they didn't use him, they're going to be careful. So I think we're going to see Sierra a little bit. until Fowler's, you know, beyond their questions about whether or not the shoulder could be something more unless they rest it. And then, you know, Peralta can play a little outfield. You know, he's supposedly flushing out his system and getting his strength back in Florida. They sent him to rehab in Florida so that he was close to, you know, Miami. That was the target where he would come back at some point so they can add him. So I don't know going forward what the long term is, at least for this season for Sierra. But I can tell you that the coaching staff absolutely loves him, and he gives him an element, you know, that, you know, Colton Wong has speed, but this kid has speed plus. Doug, he's a plus-plus runner.
Okay, just say he's a fast runner. You don't say plus-plus to make it look like
even though
a child of the 20%.
At the minor league level, like 67% of his steals, he's just a young guy who's, you know, still finding his way, but I guess he's got speed to burn.
The Cat, we have Chase joining us at 9 o'clock. We got to close out the 8 o'clock hour. Thank you for joining us here on the program. Cardinals and Marlins, Doug, I got it this evening. That's what I've got. Low smart.
Can I tell you one thing before I go, Tim?
Yes, sir.
Soaring is great. But soaring without ascension kind of makes wins a little hollow at this point. I just wanted to say that.
Doug, that puts it in perspective.
What does that mean exactly?
Well, we have to break, so I can't explain.
I don't know. I don't know, Doug.
Thank you, the Cat.
See you, boys.
The Cat then. Brought to you by 314 Training Academy, featuring a 15,000-square-foot indoor facility in Brentwood with state-of-the-art hit tracks, baseball simulator, 314sports.com. Kelly Chase joining us coming up. The 8 o'clock hour brought to you by Sildenafil, the same active ingredient Viagra, offering the same results but with massive savings. To learn more, call Goldsmith MediCenter Pharmacy at 314-432-5020 or online at goldsmithmcp.com. Chase next, brought to you by Petromart here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After.